Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We're thankful for the rain. Larry said this morning, you know, it always rains on church days, but rain is a blessing, he said. So we're thankful for the rain on the church days. Amen, because it's raining down blessings. Is all the children upstairs now? Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to stand before you. We thank you, Father God, that we can stand before you in freedom, in truth, and liberty. And Father God, I'm asking that you anoint these people to hear the word, because the word's already anointed. Open up their spiritual ears, Father, so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, let that seed drop down into fertile ground. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as this weekend I was looking through songs and come across David Crowder. And I come across an interview he had when he was younger. And, you know, he wore his hair, looked like he stuck his finger in the socket, you know, the way out, you know. But he was doing this interview, and he said it when he was in school, he loved to sing. And the band leader would tell him, David, there's a little knob down there. Would you please turn that off? And so David would reach down. He said, you know, we just don't know. Young kids don't know. So I reached down, turned that knob off. And he said, I'm back here singing my heart out. And nobody could hear a word I say. And he said, I sang so bad. And he said, but I just kept on persisting. And look where he's at today. So I'm saying that to you young kids. I say, you know, so that band leader turned him off. And he didn't know it. But, you know, but he kept going. Once he realized what they were doing, he kept persisting. And look where God's taking him to today. Mighty man of God, you know, really knows how to praise the Lord. Knows how to bring worship. He knows how to bring laughter in. You know, he just brings all kind of stuff into the praise in the Lord. And so I just really thought that was awesome. But he didn't get embarrassed. That he just went on and, you know, and did what he wanted to do, and that was to be a worship leader for the Father. And so you guys in here want to be worship leaders. You know, what are you sitting on your hands for? Why don't you go ahead and start stepping out in faith and doing what God's calling you forth to do? That's what he did. That's what Tomlin did, and that's what Stanfield did. They all became praise and worship leaders at a young age, a very young age in church. And look where God's brought them to today. So you never know, you know, if you know you have a gifting, then you have to work at that gifting and you have to bring it forth. You know, God will let you sit on it all your life if you want to, but he gave you that gifting and he expects you now to work on that gifting and to bring it alive. If you're a book writer, then, you know, you're supposed to be writing books. And if you're a song leader, you're supposed to work on being a song leader. Whatever God's gifted you with, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Tonight, this morning, I want to talk about a prophet has no honor. I'm doing this because prophecy is really being twisted and turned around, and there's false prophets out there, and people are calling themselves prophets, and they're really not prophets. Just because they prophesy, they call themselves a prophet, and that isn't true. So let's go into this teaching, and so we can set you straight a little bit. All right, the gift of prophecy is not the same as being a prophet. The office of a prophet, the office of the prophet in the New Testament is one of the fivefold ministries. It must be handled as seriously as one would approach being a pastor. It is a calling of God. It requires a time of divine preparation. It needs to be recognized by and in mutual submission to other fivefold ministries. Some differences between the New and the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets were ministers of the law. The New Testament prophets are ministers of grace. Old Testament leaders are prophets, priests, and kings. New Testament leaders are fivefold ministries. All right. Prophets are God's gift to the church, Ephesians 4:11-12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave us all these people. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church, the first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. That's God's order. Prophets are called by God. Everyone can prophesy, but only God calls prophets into ministry. And you have to be aware of self-proclaimed prophets. A couple years ago, God said, all right, daughter, you have to be careful because the false prophets have now come on the scene and they're going to cause a lot of havoc in the body of Christ. And see, this is, you know, it's just like you're running around trying to find a fortune teller, really. You know, people keep running around where there's a prophet. You hear somebody's going to prophesy. You go there trying to have them speak over your life or into your life, whatever. All right, true prophets must live holy lives and teach holiness. Like anyone in the ministry, a true prophet's life must be an example of holiness and decency, and there's no other standard. As you read the Bible about the prophets in the Old Testament, they were all holy men of God. They walked it, talked it, lived it. They were holy men of God. Revelation 2:20 says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And God always gives everybody a chance to repent. He never just takes and smacks you off the face of the earth. He always gives you a chance to repent. Now, a false prophet will excuse the flesh, particularly prophesying approval of sexual immorality. False prophets often direct people into their lusts. Watch out, it will be spiritual. They'll act spiritual, false prophets will. But false prophets prophesy by their own spirit or another spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. False prophets prophesy by their own spirit or another spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. They will speak their own mind as if it is from God and try to control people by their prophecies. We've all seen that. They will speak their own mind as if it is from God and try to control people by their prophecies. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And this is it's going on right now. You know, many times I've been tempted with my family to say, you know, God said, but God won't ever let me say those words. I can't do that. I just can't do that because I'm a prophet and I don't prophesy falsely, so I can't look at a member of my family that I want to control, or you're just even to get their, you know, they're doing something wrong. I can't say God said, because he did, you know, he didn't say that. What is that? That's my flesh wanting to get them to do what they're supposed to do. But my flesh can't make anybody do anything. All right. So don't you, if you call yourself a prophet, don't you dare do that, because that's false prophecy and you're not a real prophet. Real prophets reveal the hidden plans of God and warn of danger. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And like Larry said about the election, he said, well, now you know who is the true prophets and who are not. Those ones that, you know, that God really spoke to came out and proclaimed that Trump was going to be the next president. And then the ones who prophesied that he wasn't were not hearing from God. They weren't true prophets. He didn't say that. That's what I'm saying. All right. Acts 21:10. All right, let's just stop there. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals a secret to his servants, the prophets. When the last 8 years, when that election was, God told me, I said, God, who was going to be president? He said, I do not want this man in the office, but the people want a king, and I'm going to give them a king, and they are going to know what a king does for them. And sort of, we know what Saul did. So I knew exactly what was going to happen long before it ever happened. Now, when this election happened, I didn't really seek God's face. I didn't sit down and pray about it. I just felt my spirit. He was going to win it. But then one day I was walking down the hallway and God said, daughter, Trump is going to be the next president. So, all right, that was fine with me. Trump was going to be the next president. And I didn't say, I wasn't sitting praying about it. I was just walking down the hallway and he just told me. See, God does nothing unless he tells his prophets first. All right. All right. Then Acts 21:10 says, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come down to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns his belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Agabus was telling Paul exactly what was going to happen to him when he went to the next town. How? By the Holy Spirit. He said, by the Holy Spirit says so. Now, prophets and apostles established the church. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Prophets and apostles established the church. Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The ministry of prophets establishes the church as they declare God's plans and purposes. John 4:44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. I don't have much honor in this church. I don't have much honor in this town, in this state. But when I go anyplace else, I have honor. People become familiar with it. What do they say about Jesus? Well, he's just a carpenter's son. Just the carpenter's son. She's just a housewife. You know what I'm saying? So don't look for honor in your own hometown, even in your house. Because you're in your home, you're not going to get it. Like my family saying, you call yourself a prophet. Now I said, well, if you really knew what God is saying about you that I never tell you, you would keep your mouth shut. Amen. Because I don't tell what he tells me about my family. I just pray about it and watch it come to pass. Habakkuk 2:1-4 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, he said, write the vision, because now is not the time, but it surely is going to come to pass. I remember people used to call me 10 years after I prophesied over them. And so excited. Every prophecy you ever gave me, they've all come to pass. Took 10 years, but they all came to pass. So if you prophesy over somebody and it doesn't come to pass, and they come and complain and say, well, in God's timing, it will. And it will. If you're a true prophet of God and you're just not prophesying out of your flesh, it will come to pass. They just have to wait. We've all had to wait, right? The prophets of God are watchmen placed on the walls. Their job is to call out to God continuously until God speaks to them. Isaiah 62:6-7 says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, Sister Nancy prophesies, and she's the watchman on the wall. She's our intercessor. Her job is to be crying out to God day and night until he answers her and tells her what he wants her to know about whatever she's praying about. All right. Same goes to every one of us in here. If we pray and God doesn't answer us, then we need to keep praying and keep seeking God's face until he does. All right. Sources of prophecy. Number one, the prophets, it can come out of the prophet's own heart, caused by a deceitful heart. All right. Whatever down in your heart will come out. When I was messed up there for a while, I wouldn't prophesy because I didn't want what was in me to come out onto somebody else. So I just flat didn't. I don't have to prophesy. I really don't. I'm not one of those things I have to be seen. I really don't have to prophesy. I know I'm called a God. I know I'm a prophet. And I'm happy with that. Ezekiel 13:1 says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. See, some people just prophesy out of your own heart. Jeremiah 23:16. Okay, so, all right, that right there, you know, something's coming to a conclusion in my house. And so I was a little bit upset about something yesterday. And so then I settled myself down this morning and I said, all right, God, now I'm not angry right now. So I want you to speak to me about the situation from heaven and not have anything I'm feeling mixed into it. So then he sat down and very quietly explained what's going on. But I knew when I was angry, if I'd have sat down and sought God's face, that mixture would have been in there. My anger would have wanted to come into those words. So see, I don't do that. I wait till I'm quiet, and then I seek God's face about it. Because I only want God to, I don't want what's in my heart, because I was upset. Being angry, anger was in my heart. I didn't want that to be in the prophetic word. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. So what I said was there, the sources of prophecy, the first thing was the prophet's own heart. All right, let's just say that the first time Chris Gore got married, I told him he shouldn't get married. Well, all the other prophets told him he should get married. So I went to him and I said, well, I must not have heard the Lord right, so I guess you should go ahead and get married. And so he did, but he wasn't supposed to. So that taught me a big lesson. I don't care what other prophets say. When I hear God's voice, I hear God's voice, and I'm not going to change it because 10 other prophets say otherwise. All right? And you shouldn't either. If you're really a prophet, God will really speak to you, and he will tell you the truth, and you carry that truth, and don't let anybody else intimidate you into thinking you didn't hear God's voice. Because everything God told me was going to go wrong in the marriage went wrong in the marriage, and I felt very bad about that because I was to blame for that because he trusted me. I'm being honest. All right. I haven't never made that mistake again, and I won't ever make it again, by the way. Jeremiah 23:26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. All right. Now, number two, the source of prophecy. The prophet's own spirit. Ezekiel 13:3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. All right, the third thing could be a demon, is Jeremiah 23:13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. All right, the fourth thing could be another person's spirit. Sometimes we simply read the other person's spirit and desires. I want you all to understand this. Another person's spirit. Sometimes we simply read the other person's spirit and desires. Sometimes when I'm prophesying to people, I get all twisted and stuff, and because I'm picking up their spirit, and I know it's not what God wants to say to them, and I have to command the devil to get out of the prophetic. And you have to do that too. If you're ever prophesying and you get, you know, your words start getting twisted, and you can feel that hindrance, it's because you're really not saying what God is saying. You're picking up their spirit, what's going on in them. All right, and the fifth thing should be the Lord. The source of prophecy should be from the Lord. The sixth thing is spiritual noise. Often young prophets perceive lots of spiritual noise in a meeting. Demons, desires, their own ambitions. They need to distinguish between simply hearing in the spirit and the voice of the Lord. Read that again, spiritual noise. Often young prophets perceive lots of spiritual noise in a meeting, like demons, desires, their own ambitions. They need to distinguish between simply hearing in the spirit and the voice of the Lord. And that happens in a lot of young prophets, and they go around prophesying and get people all messed up. We need to understand that the character of the messenger should be a clean vessel. All right, lust. Let's talk about lust in Jeremiah 23:14. Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. You see that? Also, I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All them are like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. I've seen prophets like that, and I'm standing thinking, how can you be a, call yourself a prophet and do all this junk? You're not a clean vessel. And when you speak, you're speaking that junk into people's lives. All right, another thing could be ambition. Jeremiah 23:21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. A lot of prophets are out there, and God never sent them. They just went in their own flesh. I have noticed one thing about people. They believe they prophesy. That gives them a status of some sort, and it does. A false prophet. I'm serious. Rules of conduct. Number one, we must have love. 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. See what it says? And though I have the gift of prophecy, if I don't have love, I have nothing. We must have order. The second thing is we must have order. 1 Corinthians 14:31. This is rules of conduct. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. In the churches in Corinthians, everybody's prophesying at one time. They were doing all kind of stuff all at once. That's why men think that women shouldn't minister, because they said the women should be quiet and only speak at home, because the women were in there causing all kind of confusion, asking all kind of questions, and they just shut up. You know, and now then, but now the modern, you know, now they've twisted that thing and said women, the Bible says women shouldn't speak in church, and that isn't what it was saying. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. All right, you know, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. If you notice, there's an awful lot of books being written about speaking in tongues continued. There's a whole lot of things about tongues out there. And a red flag has been going up in my spirit. We need to be careful of this, because that is not all of God. Somehow or other, the devil's taking this tongue things and he's twisting it. Now, I'm not, don't ever go out and say, I didn't say you can't speak in tongues. I didn't say that. Because Chris Gore does it all the time. I don't speak in tongues very often. I just talk to it. When I do speak in tongues, it comes from really deep. But Chris Gore speaks in tongues all the time. So don't say I shouldn't. Don't say I said you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying a red flag is going up in my spirit, and God has shown me this is not of Him. Everything that goes on out there, guys, is not of God. I don't care who writes the book. You know, you have to be walking in the spirit so the enemy does not trip you up. All right, number three, we're talking about rules of conduct. Number three, we must discern the prophecy. Prophecy is discerned on the basis of the Word of God, the spirit of the prophecy, the character of the message, and the lifestyle of the speaker. We will use the term servant rather than prophet for the simple reason that God refers to prophets repeatedly as my servants, the prophets. In 2 Kings 17:13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judea by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. He talked to every prophet and every seer and said, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments. Jeremiah 7:25. You know, what really bothers me in the body of Christ, and I've seen that the whole time I've been ministering, is people who are teachers, leaders of the church, will allow false prophets to get up and prophesy. I never could understand that. And you know, they know their lifestyle. They're in all kind of sin, but yet they'll let them get up and prophesy with the people. Why do you do that? Why would you do that? You need to start checking out how the prophet lives before you let them prophesy things into your life. But I've seen this, and it runs rampant in the body of Christ. I don't know if they think, well, they'll get a prophet in there, they get more people. Well, you know what? I'd rather have nobody speak to the chairs than to stand before God. And he'd say, why? Just like that scripture we read in Revelation, why did you allow that false prophet to stand, that Jezebel prophet, stand up and prophesy over the people? And I noticed that it's more men than it is women that they invite in that are living bad lives, and they let them prophesy over the people. Jeremiah 7:25, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Jeremiah 35:15, I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now every one from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. This is important, but often forgotten. A true prophet is first a servant, God's servant, but before you can serve, you must worship. Now let's go back to Jeremiah 35:15. Let's read that again. I have also sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. God sends many prophets your way and speaks into your life, his prophets, but you do not obey what God speaks through them. You're not going to prosper. If you don't obey what the prophet tells you, you're not going to prosper. That's why you have to know the prophet, so that whenever they do prophesy over you, you know that they're speaking from God, and the word is yes and amen. It's not from their flesh. It's not them trying to manipulate or control you. It's truly God speaking through them. All right, then I said, this is important but often forgotten. A true prophet is first a servant, God's servant, but before you can serve, you must worship. I see too many prophets out there that are not God's servant. They're prophesying for their own greed. They're not really a servant of God. Luke 4:5-8. Then the devil, taking him up, Jesus up on a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. This is a pattern placed before the enemy by Jesus himself. It is written, it's a word of God. We worship God before we do anything. John 4:21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You see this? We do too much standing here just singing. We're not in the spirit. We don't even try to get in the spirit. We're just singing. And it's not pleasing to God. He wants us to get lost in our worship. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And I've read the scripture, and how many times it never hit me till last night. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He's telling her, I am the Messiah. Now, I've read that over and never have dawned on me what he said to her. Because she said, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And then she went into the town, telling her husband, everybody else, come see the man who knew all about me, type thing. In Samaria, Jesus declares himself as the Messiah, the sent one. So John 4:39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Why? Because of the word of the woman, who testified, he told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. They heard it from the woman and believed, but now they heard it for themselves and believed. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." The Samaritans received Jesus because of his words. And 18 verses later, Jesus is in his own hometown of Galilee, and we have this verse, John 4:44, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country," but right before that, the people believed in him, but his own people did not. And a couple of days later, Jesus is in Canaan of Galilee, and he says this to them in John 4:48. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.'" So those people believed his word. But then a couple days later, he told this bunch of people, "You won't believe unless you see a sign and a wonder." And God told me one time, the signs and the wonders is not for the church. It's in the word. He said, it's for the sinner. The church should never want a sign and a wonder. But we do. We're always looking for a sign and a wonder. Look in the mirror. We are the sign and the wonder. because we don't understand what God's telling us. I remember when I first came on the scene 30 years ago, you know, I used to go to the churches, you know, they said the prophets in town, and some nights I start prophesying at 7 o'clock, it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, where'd all these people come from? And they would run and say, "You got to come in here. They know everything. She knows everything about me." You know, it wasn't me, it was God, but he kept going and going and going. 2 o'clock in the morning, finally, they quit coming. But God spoke from 7 to 2. He doesn't get tired, you know. And he kept telling everybody all about themselves. Now that's God. Throughout Scripture, God sends prophets. Some are with a name like Nathan and Jeremiah. But sometimes it is a nameless servant, as in the case of Eli in 1 Samuel 2 and to Jeroboam in 1 Kings 13. In both instances, they were both just men of God sent to do a specific task. All right? Today, the modern prophet wants a name and wears a mantle. Is credentialed with or through some school of the prophets. What I first tell you, many prophesy, but only God can send a prophet. But in all the scriptures, there is only one mantle, and it speaks of one pattern. Jesus, who is our example, our pattern, was a shepherd, which is a pastor. They called him rabbi because he taught with authority, so he was a teacher. He brought the good news of the kingdom, so he was an evangelist. He was sent because God loved the world. He was a prophet and an apostle. And he had the fivefold ministry. But why stop there? Words of wisdom and words of knowledge filled his ministry. Healings and miracles, discerning of spirits and casting them out. And he spoke of things that will be. And he said that in his kingdom, greatness was achieved by serving. And he said that a prophet is without honor in his own land. All right. Let's go over that list again. I want you to get this in the spirit. Jesus, who is our example, our pattern, was a shepherd, which is a pastor. They called him rabbi because he taught with authority, a teacher. He brought the good news of the kingdom, which is an evangelist. He was sent because God loved the world, prophet and apostle. And he walked into fivefold ministry. But why stop there? Words of wisdom and words of knowledge filled his ministry. Healings and miracles, discerning of spirits and casting them out. He spoke of things that will be, and he said that in his kingdom, greatness was achieved by serving, and he said that a prophet is without honor in his own homeland. Now, so what is the problem in the prophetic field today? The problem is, first, who truly worships and serves God as God desires? Second, who does it as what is right in their own eyes? Are you understanding this? Scripturally, God used both Balaam and his donkey. He used Gehazi. He gave dreams to Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. even Saul prophesied. But would that qualify them as his servants? Absolutely not. It did not. When you come down to it, we will all qualify as some form of servant. But how God sees us will be what is important. Are you listening here? This is how God sees me, all right? When I first came on the scene, there was, you know, God wouldn't let me go to Bible college. He said, I will teach you by my spirit. So I had to learn the hard way by the spirit. Went through a lot of trials and tribulations. And so one day, I don't know, I was out ministering or something, and somebody said or did something to me. So I come in and I said, God, what is really going on? And so he told me, I want you to go to Matthew 11 and start reading at verse 10. And this is what he said. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. God said, that is you. So that's how God sees me. And I didn't know this scripture was in the Word. There's a whole lot of scriptures I didn't know was in the Word, even though I read them, until God pointed them out, because they were all important things that I really had to know and remember. So how does God see you? If you're calling yourself a prophet, are you really called of God? Are you really sent as a prophet, or do you just prophesy? You have to come to grips with this. You know, there for a while when I felt like I shouldn't prophesy because I was going through my little trauma thing, I would let everybody else prophesy, and they go on and on and on and on and on. And I said, Lord, they never stop. Because with God, with me, God just tell you blank how it is and it's done, you know. And God said, you're my prophet. You speak directly. And he said, they tell everything. So you go, whenever you guys are going on and on, what you do, you go into the nitty gritty little tiny nooks and crannies and dig that stuff out, you know, but when God uses me, he just, what do you call it? Clumps it all together. You know, he just goes and he lets a whole lot of that little stuff out and just tells you what you really need to hear. Now that doesn't make your prophecy wrong. Don't say it. I said that. I didn't say that. There's a difference in being called as a prophet, and there's a difference in prophesying. And everybody that sits in this ministry should prophesy because you sit under a prophet. You know, and I really hated to even say all these things, but I read, I can't remember the people's name. And I don't read Elijah's list anymore, but I read this today because that face looks familiar. And it's a couple that comes here. They write books and everything. Can't think of their name right now. Huh? Walters, yes. Yeah. And you know, and he said, a prophet always told me that I had something in me that I would never give out. And I know I prophesied that to him three. I don't think he's talking about me, but I prophesied that to him three different times. God told him, he said, you're sitting there on the giftings that I've given you, and you need to speak them into the church's life. And so then he said it. God said he was walking in false humility because he was sitting back, acting like he was nobody and nothing, you know. And God told me a month ago, daughter, you walk in false humility. He said, you don't want to tell anybody what I've done for you or how I view you, but that's false humility. If you would really tell the people the truth of how I view you and why I called you and how I called you, and I do tell you that, but there's things like this I never told you before. He said, it would really help the body of Christ. So that, you know, and I'd already had this all typed up, then I read that this morning before I left, and so that made me feel a whole lot better revealing this to y'all, right? Because it might help you. And then you, when I was first saved, born again, the first thing that God did to me, the first church I went to, is he singled me out as an evangelist. So my first calling is an evangelist. And then all the other things fell into place. So Jesus was an evangelist, was he not? Hosea was a powerful prophet. Look what God asked. You see, this is another. I want you to listen to what God did to these prophets, asked them to do, because I get so sick and tired of people condemning me for what God asked me to do. All right, Hosea was a powerful prophet. Look what God asked him to do. Hosea 1 and 2, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. Now, this was a prophetic marriage. All right. Now, God had already told Elijah. Now, let's talk about Elijah. God had already told Elijah he was going to send rain, and that is why Elijah spoke there was rain coming. 1 Kings 18:1 said, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So after Elijah went and talked to Ahab, then he told his servant, go look for the rain. Because God told him, if you go talk to him, then I'm going to send the rain. So that's how Elijah could have the know-with-all to say the rain was coming and the confidence it was coming. Because the servant said, I don't see it. And he said, keep looking, because he knew God spoke that the rain was coming. All right. Then 1 Kings 18:41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So I'm telling you these to let you know that God will tell you what is going to happen, and you can speak them forth knowing that they are going to come to pass. Well, I don't know if I should say that or not. You know, a lot of people did that about election, these prophets. Well, God's told me, but I'm just going to hold on to it till after the election. You know, they just weren't sure if they heard God or not. Get out of here. You know, come on. And so then when after Trump won, that's who God said it was. Well, you know, I'm sorry, I don't believe you now. Because if really God had told you it was Trump, you'd have come out and said it right up front. But said you was afraid you'd get egg in your face. So he said, I'm just going to hold on to it till after the election. No, I don't believe that. You can believe if you want. I just don't believe it. All right. I'm not telling you what to believe. All right. Ezekiel was a holy man of God. And look how God had him defile himself. Look how God had him defile himself to prophetically speak into the people's lives. Ezekiel 4:4-17. Now watch what listen to what you're reading. Lie also on your left side. He's talking to God's talking to Ezekiel. And lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. So he had to lay down on his left side and then lay the iniquity of the house on his side. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years, of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. He had to bear their sin. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arm shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. And surely I will restrain you, so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. In other words, he was glued to that ground. Also, take yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, you shall eat it. And your food which you eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time you shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink. And you shall eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of the human waste in their sight. Then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles where I will drive them. So I said, O Lord God, indeed I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beast, nor has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth. Then he said to me, see, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and shall drink water by measure and with bread, that they may lack water and bread and water and be dismayed with one another and waste away because of their iniquity. That's just a few examples of what God has had the prophets, the true, honest, holy prophets do. They had to carry the iniquity of the people as a prophetic picture. Now, these are just a few examples of what God asked his prophets to do, not to those who prophesy, but to his true prophets. Chris Gore always tells me, Pastor Barbara, your life is a prophetic life. The things that God asks you to do are all prophetic to what's going on in the world. And I thought about that as I prepared this and as I was reading this, and he's so true. And, you know, you have to, if you're called to be a prophet, not to prophesy, God's going to have you do things that are going to, other people are going to question. I believe they will question really hard. This last thing God's asked me to do, it's caused me a lot of degradation in some of the pastor's eyes around here. But I know what God called me to do, and I've done it. And now it's ended, but I did it. And they're going to have to stand before God, and, you know, and he's going to judge them, not me. See, and they, some of these pastors that are judging me right now, they prophesy too, but they're not prophets. If they were prophets, they wouldn't even be judging me at all, because they would be standing before the Father's face asking him, what are you doing with her now? Because he's always doing something with me. What are you doing with her now? And so that's why I say, when people come to judge me, I'll say, have you prayed? And then I walk away. Because I know when you're standing before me accusing me, you have not prayed. Because, and I don't care if you call yourself a prophet, what did you call yourself? If you prayed, God has told you the truth, and you wouldn't be standing in front of me. Amen. And God said to tell you, I'm not flawless, but I'm not crooked and evil and dirty either. I do live a holy life. You know, when God asked me to marry Pastor Larry, you know, I said, but God, yeah, I've never gone down that road before. But I had to, because that's what was going on in the world. Are you understanding this? And with this last thing he's asked me to do, I said, but God, I don't believe in this at all. It has nothing to do with Larry. I don't believe in this at all. He said, I know you don't, but you have to do this. And he said, I'll keep you covered. And he told me last night, Wednesday night, my grace is lifted. So he's kept his grace and kept me covered to do this job for him until Wednesday night, and then it's over. All right? And so the people that I had to cover during that time, if they don't straighten out, then they're in God's hands and they're in trouble. So you don't really want to be a prophet. You really don't. You might want to prophesy. That's fine. But you don't want to be a prophet. Because prophets do things that they would never even dream they would ever do, because God calls them to do it. Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Listen to that again. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold of these days. If you're sitting in this church and under a prophet and you don't believe me, then I would suggest you leave, because you're already in trouble with God. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. Not wasting my time, because, you know, I'm going to preach no matter who's here. But if you're sitting under me, and I am a prophet, and I'm not going to back down from that anymore. I wouldn't let anybody even call me that. And I don't want people to call me that. I'm an evangelist. But when I say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And when I come to you and I say, you're in sin, you're in sin. There's many times that you're in sin and I don't come to you and say you're in sin. I don't come to you unless I know you're ready to step into the dark abyss and you're not going to be able to return. Then I will come to you. I usually have Christopher do that. We will come to you and tell you, you know, you need to get it together, because you're about ready to die in sin. So, there it is, guys. For you guys to think it's great to be a prophet, and if God didn't call you to be a prophet, then I wouldn't go run around and say I'm a prophet. You can say, I prophesy. But I wouldn't say I'm a prophet. And see, because people know that I'm a prophet, they'll call and say, I want to hear what God has to say. Do you know how many times God doesn't have anything to say? And I say, God, why didn't you speak to them? He said, they haven't done the first thing I told them to do, so why should I waste my breath and your time? Are you listening here? So if a prophet has spoken into your life, and God has told you to do something and you haven't done it, then God's going to quit speaking to you. Because he has other things, more important things to do, and his breath is valuable to him. Amen. So this morning, to cover all this, I would like for you to come up here to the altar if you want. And I would like for God to really overshadow you and to cover you so that you will not give in to false prophets anymore. That you won't run around looking for a prophet. You'll find a prophet, all right, but it might not be a prophet of God. If I was you, I would come up here and I would really ask God just to cover me so that I would have eyes to see in the spirit realm and to know what is a true prophet and what is a false prophet. You know, and I don't have anything against the school of the prophet either, because I used to teach people how to prophesy. But then I didn't call you a prophet either. Just taught you how to prophesy. I'm not going to give you a credential, run around, say I'm a prophet. Or even a credential, say I prophesy. Amen.